Yeah. So holding here, we did last time a Perikei Darshan, I think, and about the different parts of a person that are made on the person. Yeah?
Yes.
And now we're
yes.
up to Bemedrash, I think. We got up to Medrash Abba Chukas Hain. Yeah, I think that's what we're holding. Okay, Bemedrash Arba Chukas Hain. There are four.
Let me just double check. We didn't do the Adam Shed Circle Hasir Yeter Yulmod Me Abba Sa'ilam.
One second.
It's actually been a while. That's the truth.
No, I definitely know we did last time. We did Al Tamino Barav Al Tiftiku Baluf. I think we did that.
No, you're right.
Okay. Bemedrash. So it's one thing, you know, given the choice of forgetting what you did versus imagining something you didn't do, I think the latter is by far worse indication. So you got me a lot more scared that if I'm imagining that I did something. Yeah, Bemedrash, Arba Chukas Hain. There are four types of chukas. There are four chukas. Chukas is an intense craving. Ein chukas ala isha ala isha. Shenema val isha chukasech. That's one. Ein chukas ala shetzar ala kain b'chaverov. Shenema v'elecha chukasoi. Ein chukasen shal kshamim ala ala aretz. Shenema pikadeto aretz vate shekikeha. Ve'ein chukas ala kashbroch ala yisrael shenema v'olai chukasoi. So four chukos that exist in the Bria, incredible range, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kal Yisrael, Ish Te'isha, Yitzahara, the Kaim B'chaverov, and K'shom L'aretz. Ulefiz Yishla Haksha, it's K'divachom Einam Kach, Sharei Omru K'meniach Kolayil Megar B'Yisrael. It says that the Yitzahara leaves everyone and is Mizgar in Kal Yisrael. So, you're telling me that the Yitzhara enjoys wicked people. That's the type of people he starts off with, are the wicked people. Well, it says that Arab, that he's be'ika in folks on Kali Yisrael, be'ika folks on Tzadikim, and so on. So it's almost the opposite. Aval dovaza ein akashe, ki bevada Yitzhaze megarab odam v'yoseb Yisrael, ka yetze mevakesh da hapul ha-nimtza, ad she bilti nimtza, uke shumar lo v'ashem sheker ra. So certainly in terms of accomplishing in terms of trying to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, certain Kal Yisrael is a much better target. Being that the Yitzhara's job is to try to destroy or pose obstacles to what exists, this is certainly worse. Vavada Yosef Megari Yitzhara Yisrael uvit Padri Hachamim Shazakta Hapu Bayis Bani Nimtzo Levatel also. Ki Yisrael am ikam etzis vim bayis boni vimash megar v'chom sevatel bayis moris batzmoy. Now someone whose bent is on being destructive, so destruction is certainly a lot more focused on something which is built. V'zeh omer perikam lebrochus omer lechmeina v'shlokus olum yagzor mitzatev v'yitzahar shem v'yitzal techto and so why is remembering Yom HaMitzvah Mevat HaYitzahara? Avla pirushu keitzahara shumigar ba'odam basa metzirich kashamarnu v'kashay yaskal la'misa shubitl odam enkan oid yitzahara v'lekach ayitzahara lufi mailas adav misgar ba'yitzahara. Let's discuss this point for a minute. So the first point he's saying is, certainly Yitzhahara tries to upset the taller and the more significant the object is, the more the Yitzhahara tries to topple it. You can even see it in the Psukim by Eov. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, just read the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there's nobody around more bigger tzaddik than Eov. Mr. Yitzhahara, Mr. Sutton, can you do something about it? So certainly in terms of a challenge, that is a greater challenge, obviously, and that's Pashit. But, and then we'll see the but in a second, but I want to focus on a different point that he's making here. He's saying to remember Yom HaMisa Devat Yitzhahara. And here he's saying something very, very fascinating. L'chura, let's ask ourselves, if a person is, if a person has a cup of, let's say, delicious coffee that he's drinking, and someone tells me you better hurry up, because in America you go through the airport, they have to take all the liquids away, so you know you better hurry up because we're about to go into the check-in, and you'll have to spill it out. So my reaction would be to finish the coffee as quickly as possible and to say something about how stupid the American security is. But at the end of the day, it's an impetus for me to hurry up and to do it. I might as well chaperai. A person is enjoying things in this world, and then somebody reminds him Yom HaMisa. Logically, the person should say, well, I guess we gotta chaperai as quickly as possible. Like it says the pasuk, echol shtei kimochanamus. So one would think that if I have a yitzhara, let's say my yitzhara is to eat something, and I'm reminding myself of Yom HaMisa, then it would push me to do more quicker and so on. I have an uncle of mine who passed away, an old man, like was about 100, and wasn't from and. That whole section of family wasn't from, and he had a daughter-in-law who was not even Jewish, actually, and as they sort of covered the grave, she turned to myself and to actually one other from nephew, that's it, and said, you know, this really teaches us a lesson. You need to enjoy as much as possible because soon it's gone. So that seemed to be quite a logical statement, not philosophical terribly, but very logical. So what's the svara that if a person reminds of Yom HaMisa, he's going to desist? We understand, for instance, that if you think about Gehenna, okay, that's fair. So if we say Yisko Yom HaDin. And that there's going to be Gehenna and so on. Okay, that I hear. But Yom HaMisa in itself, I just don't quite hear it. So let's think of something. There's a subtle point that I think is important to the hair. Imagine that a group of my friends are now off to Hawaii for a vacation. And I'm not going. So I feel bad. They're going to Hawaii, they're having a smashing time, they're going to have a week's vacation, and I'm not. Imagine they're sitting in Hawaii, soaking up the sun, and surfing, and whatever. I'm sitting here, we just had last week, we were snowed in. Purim was this remarkable 8-inch snow, and I'm sitting and sloshing through the snow, slipping on the ice, and saying, boy, I am jealous of my friends who are in Hawaii now, they're just, you know, kind of surfing and having a blast. Understand that. They come back, and it's a week afterwards, 2 weeks afterwards, and they are doing the same thing that I am doing, and you know, nothing is happening. We're both sloshing through snow or whatever, and I'm jealous of him that he had a great time in Hawaii and I didn't. Why? I mean, what was, he's not enjoying it anymore. And I'm not enjoying it anymore, you know. And I'm not. We're both equal. We're both having a rough time sloshing through the snow and the cold and the ice and so on and so forth. And what was. So why do I still have that feeling? And the answer is, besides the actual physical pleasure of taiva, there's also a deeper sense of having, quote-unquote, accomplished. For the man who boasts of his escapades, whatever they were, so it's not, I mean, they're gone. He's gone. His old man is not escapading anything. He's in a nursing home. There's nothing happening. But his sense of having chaperai in a lot of taiva gives him a sense of well-being, and a sense of possession. He possesses tons of vacations, tons of women, tons of wine, tons of dining. He possesses it because since taiva is the world. What he possesses in terms of taiva is what he has. And therefore, a week afterwards, this person still, quote unquote, has a vacation in his bank account, and I don't have a vacation in my bank account. And that's why I feel bad. When I remember Yema Misa, and I get a jolt that very soon I don't possess it at all. Because one thing is clear, the minute you're gone, the vacations are kalei hoya, and the eating is kalei hoya, and so on and so forth. And none of that, you can't come, you don't, you know, the only thing you got for your eating is that it's a little longer to rot in the basic forest. Then you lose, you become deflated, because none of those things are in your possession. So the Yiskei Mamisa deflates the Yetzer Hara in the sense that I don't feel good about having it anymore. I once said, I guess my Inyan Linyan, but also Inyan. I'm sorry?
But then, vis-a-vis, you said it depends who you are, right? Because
correct.
If that's your sense of time, and so it's not going to help for everybody, basically.
Well, it helps you realize that this is not, this can't be chayim, because it just doesn't stay with you. You don't stay, so what's the point of it? It's like staying at a very fancy hotel, and you can brag about the hotel and the accommodation, but you don't show off the furniture in the room and say, "Wow, this is a piece." I mean, it's not yours. It's gone tomorrow. You can just say, "I'm staying at this hotel," but I can't. You know, so you're right. For a person that these things are not accomplishments, then it's meaningless. I once spoke, there was many years, this is like 20 years ago, 19 years ago, there was a siyum, the first year I came here, there was a siyum on Masechtas Kedushin by some high school boys, and one of the boys, who today is a very big Talmud Chacham and a Magid Shir somewhere, his parents were very strongly modern Orthodox and really did not have much patience with the yeshiva world and so on. And the boy was the one who said the Mishnah of, Menech lekolomis ba'olam, and olam in the Torah, shekol omnesh ba'olam, and when a person gets old, the ziknosa, it leaves him, but Torah keeps him going, and so on and so forth. So this boy's father leaned over to one of the rabbeim and said, "I disagree with every word in that Mishnah." Now, so at the Suda afterwards, I felt very inclined to say a few words. So I said, I mean, I don't. The person didn't know I had heard it. So I said, you know, I was listening to this boy reading the Mishnah, and I was kind of very, very taken aback. I said, you know, what does it mean that when you get old, all other omnis leave you, and you don't have what to be responding to this one, but Torah doesn't leave you? I said, first of all, Baruch Hashem, today we all have Social Security and pensions and stuff like that. And secondly, you know, I've seen many an institution make lava malkas and dinners to raise money. Never seen a law firm or a medical office have to make a dinner of lava malkas to raise funds. So what does it mean, the Mishnah, exactly? As I said, the Mishnah is talking about parnas in a much deeper sense. In other words, a person, parnas means what gives you chiyus, what gives you life. Every person has something that he's living for. So when you're young, building up a great business, being very successful in the career aspect of it is exciting, and it gives a person a certain chiyus. But as a person gets older, that tends to subside, and a person asks himself, what do I have? And yes, the business built up nicely, that's wonderful, but the sense of what is important to possess, what is it that person has, leaves you. And as you get older and older, and if you can think the only thing that you've accomplished is you've bought and sold buildings, not much more than that, or manufactured undershirts, then the older you get, the more kind of depressed you get about it. When you're also in a tchum of ruchnius, so whatever you've accomplished as you get older, those accomplishments are more meaningful to you because the person has become more ruchni, is more aware of what's important. So the people I helped, the learning I did, the davening, the shmir on myself, and the kedushin, all these things feed a person. The person feels more and more satisfied with that, and so on and so forth. The end of the story was the person was very upset and assaulted. I don't know, he felt that I had personally assaulted him. Fast forward 20 years later, he has a lot of nachas that his two children are both Rabbanim, Agadishurim, and really, really very special people. That was a long time ago. Agapanim. So when we talk about Yetzirah and so on, there's a double dimension to it. There's a physical stimulus, which is taiva, but in the Yetzirah, in that sense, it's the sense that we feel the ra is that which we have and possess. It becomes the thing that is our sustenance. Okay, so there was so that's one point. That's not even his point. That's the point to try to just to get off. We were talking about the Yetzirah and Yom Misa and so on. Avla Pirushu, Kay Yetzirah, Shumigar Bod Lavatzishman, Vekasha Yaskele Misa Shubit Lada Enkan Yetzirah, Kach Yetzirah. So Avol, Dveikus Hay Yetzirah Hu Bereshoyim, Ki Rahu Dovik Bishu Mochala Ze. So he explains here, we're talking about two very different things. The word mizgare means to fight with, to struggle with, to fight with, to attack, all of that, and that definitely is most appropriate for the better and the greater and the gooder. That's who I'm trying to be misgara with. So the Yetzer seeks to attack. Chuka means a natural companion, the type of person that Yetzer feels most inclined with is Kayin and Chavera. We'll see in a second what he says, then we'll talk about it. So and therefore he says Olkach Oma Dalit Shukois Ki Advekus Vachibu B'Yachad Mishnei Ponim.
Is he
going to
explain that, what that means,
Dveikus
to the Rishoyim?
Not quite, but we'll see. There's a connection there, and we'll talk more a little bit about it. I just want to get
okay.
To it. Olekach oma dalet shukois, ki adveikus vachibu biyachet mishnei panim. Ha'echot ki adoyme yahab ischabla deimel vagami, kwa shabaran dov zem zeva ava, vashaini hu mitzad she yushlam echad vashaini. So he speaks in a Siva Ava, and he sort of puts down the following question. You know, I'm paraphrasing it, but it's a fairly accurate paraphrase. We have two wise sayings of Mashalim that are kind of contradictory to us. One of them is birds of a feather flock together. And one of them is opposites attract. So, which one is it? Do birds of a feather flock together, or do opposites attract? So the Maral says, the emes, it's birds of a feather flock together. That's the main ahava. But there's a when those who are not similar are mashlim each other, then there's a very, very strong bond in that case. So, Lamashal, let's take a common example. Men folk tend to schmooze with men folk a lot because they understand each other better, and women tend to schmooze with women. Even not from people, but there's a certain type of socializing that's men and women. But men and women, because they complement each other and they complete each other, therefore they create a bond of marriage that no other bond can do. So the let's take an example of business. You have somebody whose line of business is technology will naturally have we'll have an easier time relating to people in the same field. They'll get together and they'll talk, and you know, we're talking about the same thing. But the person that I hire to work as my CFO is going to be a numbers cruncher who may not know which end of the batteries goes in where. It's because my business absolutely needs somebody to do the business, the numbers, because I just don't understand about gadgets, not about numbers, and therefore that partnership is an extremely resilient partnership. So Chibur and Dveikus come in two ifanim. Let's give that same mashal, by the way, that Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see. We'll see it in a second when he talks about it. Let's go in order the way he says it. So we have two inyanim that create a bond. Vidavazeh, he says, hefecharishon. So in a certain sense, this second one is opposite of the first one. Avdozeh v'tzachem cholokim eshu cholokim shazavazeh. Ulekach, Hashem yisparo shu ha-toyv ha-gomu. Umipneikach tshukoseh ala shu ha-toyv ha-davikboi. So when we're talking about a union of like to like, Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is his type, it's his cup of tea. So just like a person who is intellectual bent wants to associate with a person who's intellectual. Persons of a practical bent enjoys acting together with people that are practical, and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tshuka is to Klal Yisrael. So since the Kadosh Baruch Hu's toiv is Moses' toiv, then Klal Yisrael's mohus and Klal Yisrael's Moses' toiv, there is the affinity. I want to add a point to what he's making here to round out something. We have both angles in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a malchus in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech needed a malchus. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed a klal Yisrael to be chalon, and therefore we also provide some of the other type, since in this world HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not in this world it's the people who are mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpa that create the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are mekablim to his nesina, call it, or whatever you want to call it. The mekablim HaKadosh, so we also complement HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the fact that we are mekablim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the one hand, we are similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, we complement HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashpia, and we're the mekabel, and the two complement each other. By the way, the same thing is true by Ish Ve'Isha. When a person, the ideal situation, or the situation that one normally would want is as follows. The husband and the wife share a very common ideal, and in that way they're very similar. They both want, let's say, a very Torah-like household and so on. And the husband and wife need each other to complement what they bring into the household. So we have sort of both of them. We have the similarity, and that's why I would tend to be more, the closer person is to where I am in terms of what I want and what I understand and what I think, the closer person is to me, and the fact the person complements it creates that extraordinary bond. One. Two. V'chein ha-hefech, yetzara shura ba'atzmoi, ein shukoseloi el-edoimeloi, shehim ha-reshayim. And yetzahara's tshuka is to reshayim. Let's explain that. What does it mean? What is it, you know, and the answer is, let's go back again to what we said before about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. In the Sfarim, and it's brought down in many other Sfarim, it's not Kabbalah, it's Kabbalah, but it's brought down in Sfarim, like in the Tanya speaks about, and so on. They speak about the Esa spheres of Mesiavusa, the 10 spheres of Tuma. In other words, Ra itself, just like we explained before, let's go back to the example about the vacation in Hawaii. So there's the pleasant sense of having a vacation in Hawaii, the pleasantness of it. And then there is, I don't know if to call it ideology as much as the mindset that this is what's worth it. This is what is important and significant. Let's take another example, something that might even come closer to home. Everyone is moda that having a healthy body is important and it's good. And you meet somebody who looks robust and good health and so on, you say, Baruch Hashem, you look good, healthy, and you know, robust, and you know, halavayat megaza kind of, and this and that. That's fine. But that should become the focus. How robust is your body? How well developed is your muscles? How much weight can you lift? And how far can you run? And how quickly can you run? All of that. That is taking a physical phenomena and turning it into a metzias b'fnatzmo, that this is an ideal. It's important. It's an accomplishment. So great sports is an end to itself. Is something that is extremely part of our society. So Ra also, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu seeks to express his self in the world, it's not just a question of getting people to do mitzvahs, but to sort of become a melucha of toiv, so that they have a nation that builds itself around the toiv as its core value. So too, the Yetzer Hara needs, the way Kadosh Baruch Hu set up Ra was, that Ra would become a malchus. It's Zeluma Sebarlikim, and in from Malchus on there's potential for Ra. So that means that the Ra will come into the Bria not only as individual discrete acts, but rather as a mindset, as a perspective to the Bria. Just like Stone saw in Achzarius the Good, and just like Germany saw in what it was doing as the crown jewel of accomplishment and so on. That's the pshat. So Ra has a tshuka to Kayim v'chaveirav in terms of it needs a chalois of people who not only are doing Ra, but they actually that's what their life is about. V'rev yitzor shu Ra ba'atzma ein tshukosol doyma l'shem ha'rishoyim. V'ama oid ki ein tshukas isha ele isha. Dova ze mitzad ki mishtoike kamekabul shulchasal mashpia. So hishtoikus works from the one who needs to the one who has to give. And kaveyochel, by the way, this is what it says before, kachos mishtoik the klaisol, cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed a rotzon in the Bria for being megal himself. And we are the echetim zirat ratzon, so there's a tshuka for that. By Isha, it's because all chayim v'shtekas are chayim al atzura. Kinas davech lish v'isha v'yachad v'imatzim v'cholokim. V'ho isha mushlames ba'ish k'mo sheyushlam ha'chayim v'tzura. V'im v'cholokim v'atzon legambi. So there's one ishtekikus.
Question? Yes. Ba'ashem l'chor, it's the wrong way around, no? Since we are the makabli, he's the mashpia, the chukka should be for us to him.
Well, okay, so Lamais, there is a pasuk it's a chazal. Yeah, ain't true kach bari social, and it says for olai trukosoi. So just like it says the isha's chuka is to a man, but it says in Shashirim, v'olai chukasoi, his chuka is to me. It's on two levels. On the most pneumistic level, it's the isha who's mishtoike for the ish. Now was given that olai chukasoi, but there's a chuka also, the ish that has himself that he lost something. A woman doesn't have a mahus. Let's go back to the original description of a tzela, of a side of the man. So the side without the, when you break off, when you take a tire off the car, you took a tire off the car. So imagine somebody calls up the masachnik and says, "I have a car and I'm missing a tire. Would you have a tire to supply?" And the guy would say, "Yes." Imagine somebody calls up and says, "I have a tire. Would you have a car to supply?" I guess the guy would say, "Mazik, pulu mayum, mata otze." The woman being the tzela, so her entire mahus is taller on the man, and that's why Chazal tell us tavla meisav tandu, that we assume automatically she wants nesuin. But for the man, because he's missing a chelik, there's a chukka for that hashlama. In terms of hashlama, that's also a chukka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way where there was a rutzen for gilui lamata. So since Klai Yisrael don't want to produce that, in that sense, there's a chukka for there. But you're right, in the fact that he's aligning the mishalom of the isha to ish, one would have naturally expected it to be Klai Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Akaponim. V'ashenu shtoikos ha-mashpia la-mushpa, ki ha-mashpia gam kein, he efshalei v'loi mekabel sh-mashpia la-vetzorach loi mekabel. So he says, there's a mashpia of the mashpia, and this is really parallel to what he said before, about Klai Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's now going on to the Chukas Kshamim El Aretz. What does it mean as Chukas Kshamim El Aretz? Means that, like it says in Chazal, Yoyse Masha Egel Roitzelinoik Hapor Roitzelahonik, that more than the eagle wants to absorb, to suck from the mother wants to feed the ego. So he says there is a chukah from the mashpia to the mushpa, and in that sense that's even stronger, he says, and he needs a makabel, and that's gshamim to aretz. So the gshamim want aretz because need the mashpia. This is actually parallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klal Yisrael, the desire of the mashpia to be mashpia onto the mushpa. I want to phrase a question here. When Chazal say that Yoyse Masha Ha'egel Roitzel Lina Kapor Roitzel Lahonik, what's the pshat in that? L'chura, let's look at the Masha Nimshel. For the para, for the eagle, getting food is life or death. For the para, it's a pleasant sensation. Let's even assume that it's mitzayir when it can't get rid of milk. But at the end of the day, there's a pleasantness to it. There's a good, but it lives without it. The para is chewing grass and water, and you know, and is doing okay. Let's say I'm teaching in school, so for the kids learning, if they don't listen, if they're not learning in school, they're boors, they're absolute ignoramuses. For me as a teacher, I may like teaching, but if let's say the teaching is gone, then I still exist as a human being. So why is the Yoyse Masha Egor to Linak, the Paroi to Lahanik. Well, what's, why is it Yosef? I wouldn't think so logically. And the answer, I mean, I don't know the answer, but the probably the point is since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's metzias in the world is a metzias of a mashpia and a noisin, the metzias of a mashpia and a noisin is a greater kiyum and a greater drive than the mashpia of a makabel. And let's give one example in a way, and people will be meisa nefesh for a cause, because there's a sense of something greater than just being or existing. There's a greater existence than just being or existing. If a person has his hagashas right, and his understanding is that if the only real existence is the Gedera HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzias is a mashpia, then if I am not a mashpia, if I don't give, if I don't produce, then I basically don't exist in the real mitzias, then it's a much more powerful feeling. Because it's in a certain way, the one who gave existed, the one who received only never existed. So in talking of Deima HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias of Havaya is real Metzias, it is characterized by Hashpah, that defines it as such, then the people not able to do that are not Chai. Take a look, compare sometimes a person who lost a parent, chas v'shalom, compared to a person who's not able to have family. What are you going to say? I missed the child I could have had. Well, I don't know, but a parent you had, you miss. But it's not like that. The sense of self, a parent contributes to my sense of who I am in one level, but the child I have is who I am on a much bigger level, and me as the mashpia. It's a very, very different mahalach. Al-Kalponim. So he says here, look, Ha'ilucha dalet shukas eila sha'in la'hoisev ein la'gramem. There are dalet shukas and that's it. So, I don't know what he's referring to specifically, but the
bchina. Do you think Dalet means kol minei chukus that ever could be, like Dalet,
correct. Whenever he says Dalet, two things. First of all, it's like when he speaks about the Dalet Malchius, it's a certain totality, but I'll tell you what I think. Whenever he uses the words Amukim Bechachma, he's talking about Kabbalah. That's his code word for Kabbalah. In the big picture, I would say the following: the most central midah of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech to malchus. Malchus is us as the mekablim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpah and reflecting it back. So that's the primary. All the other midahs come together as mashpia, but malchus is the tachlis, because that's malchus includes us into the picture. The dalet are almost always referring to the four letters of the Shem Havaya, and my hagosha is it's probably each one of this is le'umas, the other le'umas, one like that. The hey is always a letter of receiving ashpa. I don't know, I don't know more specifically, but certainly he's referring to the concept of Malchus, which is the underpinning of the Tachas Abriya, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Ein Melech B'loi Am, means he needs to be Mashpia in order to be a Melech. That's his Ritzon Yisbarach. More than that, I don't know. And certainly what you said about the Dalet being very specific, that's obviously what he means, and it tends to refer to usually Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's usually what you're referring to, but I don't know more specifically what you're referring to. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions? Any points?
You should call from us.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Okay, I got you, Shabbos. Call to.
Good. Bye. See you next week. Bye.